Well, hey, church, welcome to those of you who are with us live and in person, tuned in on television, online, or joining us from one of the hundreds of prisons and correctional facilities from all across the nation that are joining us right now, and from hospital rooms and nursing homes. We've been in a series now called How to Sink a Submarine, and what we've been focused on is all of the self-sabotaging ways that we tend to sink our own ship. We are the submarine, and when we take on more than we were meant to, we sink. And so our discussion over these past 8 weeks has been focused on all of the ways that we tend to cause ourselves harm. And we've covered topics like comparison and envy, unforgiveness and deadweight relationships, procrastination, debt, greed, and even infidelity. Today, though, we turn the page away from the act of self-sabotage in order to acknowledge that sometimes there are torpedoes in life that seemingly come out of nowhere, events that cause trauma that we did not ask for, the kind of trauma with both the power and the potential to sink our ship fast. It's why I've invited Dr. Andy Yarborough, a very dear friend of mine whose practice, the Well Clinic, every day helps people to navigate these often overwhelming challenges. Dr. Andy is a licensed clinical psychologist, and he is a Christian. And he, like nobody else I know, is able to fuse both his clinical practice, ideology, and understanding of how the body works and how the mind works, with the unchanging wisdom of God's word. And so two things real quick. First, I want you to lean in today, take notes, because I believe that God wants to begin a healing work in some of you that perhaps you're not even aware that you need. And then two, just a slight trigger warning, we will be exploring trauma and different kinds of trauma. And so if you find yourself struggling today, our intention is not to make this conversation unbearable for anybody. And we have pastors and a prayer team available for anybody who may need to talk some things out beyond today. That's what we're here for, and nobody ought to be dealing with the issues that we're going to be talking about today alone. So with that, Dr. Andy, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Andy, can we start with, let's talk about the torpedoes in life that tend to strike when we least expect them to, without warning, and the damage that they cause, the trauma that they inflict. And maybe first we can start just by defining what trauma actually is.
Yeah, trauma is a deeply distressing and disturbing experience that sabotages our sense of safety, stability, security, leaves us feeling really vulnerable and helpless, overwhelms our capacity to cope with those things. And so it can really shut us down. And there's a lot of different kinds of trauma. You can have single moments of trauma, like a car accident or an isolated assault. Multiple aspects of that, it can be chronic. And there's just a lot of different ways that trauma can impact us, our body, our soul, our relationships, our spiritual health. Yeah. Trauma impacts all of who we are. And there's just a lot of different types of trauma as well.
I can think of one trauma in particular that I feel like we've all been through, the trauma of 2020,
yeah,
the COVID pandemic, and just the whole world that surrounded that season of life. And I've talked with you about this, that I wonder how much of that trauma we're not even yet quite well aware of, that we're going to have to learn to unpack and deal with and overcome in the years to come. And when you talk about that there are different types of trauma and that each of us tend to respond to traumatic circumstances differently, what are some of those different types of trauma?
Yeah, so you can have acute trauma. Like I said, it's a one-time event that just overwhelms us in a moment. You can have chronic trauma where things just continue to happen on an ongoing basis. And then there's a lot of research that describes what we call complex trauma, where it's not just ongoing, but it's multiple types of traumatic experiences that often happen or start in childhood and just continue through adolescence into early adulthood and sometimes through the rest of our lives. So you've got these three kind of types of trauma, and there's a lot of different causes of trauma. And I think it's worth, this is going to be just a lot of information, but it's worth taking a moment to talk about it, because just giving it a language
right.
for people can be really helpful to yeah. go, oh my God, that's trauma.
Yeah.
So taking some time and giving it a language is really important. One type of trauma is physical trauma. Sometimes that's an illness. My middle son had an acute autoimmune response a few Christmases ago, and we spent hours in the emergency department over Christmas. And now when he sees hospitals, he still has a little bit of a response in there. It was yeah. just not a pleasant experience. So you can have physical illness, physical injuries are forms of physical trauma, as well as physical abuse,
yeah.
where there's this intentional act by another person to cause harm or injury to us. You have psychological or emotional trauma. And that's a type of abuse that takes place when people try to control or manipulate us in ways that are detrimental to our souls. And we talk about emotional abuse. It doesn't just impact us emotionally, but it impacts our ability to think how, not just what we think, but how we think, how we see the world, how we think about who we are, and our will,
yeah.
our ability to make decisions. So psychological abuse isn't just emotional abuse. It impacts our emotions, our thought life, and our capacity to decide and act. And there's so many different kinds of abuse. And one point, too, to make that I think is really important. A lot of times, somebody can do something that's abusive. It doesn't necessarily make them an abuser.
Right.
And one distinction there is remorse. You ask for forgiveness. So I'm not saying that if you have done these things, you're an abuser.
Yeah.
I think that's really important as we hear these things, because at some point we've all done these things.
When that happens, it is important to acknowledge when an abuse has taken place or
yes.
when there's been a boundary crossed. But then where there's willingness, right, to both acknowledge that a line or a boundary has been crossed and to now work on, okay, let's not cross that boundary again.
Yep.
Let's make sure that we are actively working toward
yes.
healing and restoration, which is what we're called by God to do.
Yes. So as I go through these few things, abusers don't take responsibility. They don't
yeah.
try to take the other person's perspective. And there's often chronic patterns of these.
Yeah.
But gaslighting is one of them. We
yeah.
hear this term all the time. And gaslighting is a term where basically it's a form of psychological manipulation where you try to show someone that their experiences or their perception of reality is not true. It's invalid, and it can just drive people crazy. Humiliating other people, trying to be controlling in ways that shut other people down, their ability to enact their will in healthy ways, isolating people to keep them alone, to control them,
yeah.
where they don't hang out with other people, they're not connected in a larger group context, is a form of emotional abuse. Emotional blackmail.
Yeah.
Using guilt or fear to try to manipulate or control people, blaming people, guilt-tripping people, invalidating people's emotions.
Yeah.
Now, this happens all the time in our culture, but these chronically invalidating or minimizing someone's emotions can be a form of gaslighting, and it can be really, really difficult for people to manage. Sexual trauma, sexual abuse, it's any kind of abuse that involves like non-consensual, unwanted, or inappropriate sexual advances or contact. And a little R-rated here, but rape is it's non-consensual sexual intercourse, but sexual trauma isn't just issues like penetration. Sexual assault involves language that's
yeah.
sexual, that's unwanted, unasked for. Child sexual abuse isn't just the unwanted abuse of our power to sexually engage children, but it's exposing them to those things.
Yeah.
Exposing kids to pornography is a form of child sexual abuse. I don't want to get political, but as a psychologist, it's one of the reasons why I do have an issue with sex education in our school systems that show explicit sexual material to our children. It's a form of sexual abuse. And I think being aware of what this does to our kids' development is really important.
That's good.
Grooming.
Yeah.
Where you're bringing kids in and trying to build trust and emotional connection in order to exploit them in some way sexually or even ideologically is a form of grooming. Sexual abuse does major damage to our souls and how we see ourselves, the world, how we view God. And then you've got relational trauma. Relational trauma involves neglect, and there's a lot of forms of neglect where people's needs aren't being met.
Yeah.
Patterns, ongoing patterns of physical neglect, not having the right clothing or the food that we need. Medical neglect, not getting kids the medical attention that they need. Emotional neglect, withholding love, affirmation, connection, really impacts the development of children in particular. But marriages experience emotional neglect as well, where we coexist together, but I'm withholding my emotion from you. I mean, withholding my affection from you. Even educational neglect, and we often don't think about that, but not getting kids access to education can be a form of relational trauma. And then you've got abandonment, where we just leave people alone. Whatever that looks like, they don't get the care that they need, whether it's temporary or permanently. Abraham Lincoln's father left him alone as a small child to go find a wife for months. The fact that he was able to lead and fought like significant abandonment issues as an early kid. And we see that a lot in our society. We see it in relationships where people just walk away from us. So forms of relational trauma. And then we have environmental and lifestyle trauma. So things like car accidents, natural disasters. In Louisiana, we get flooded all the time. Flash floods, all sorts of stuff. And I talk to people, it starts raining and thundering, and their body kicks into that fight, flight, or freeze response. Exposure to war.
Yeah.
Or violence, and then even financial trauma. So I know it took a minute to get through some of that, but it's important to give it a language because there's all kinds of causes of traumatic experiences in our life.
Yeah, so this past summer, my family spent some time with you and your team in Baton Rouge, and it wasn't just to hang. We had fun together, but we were there to spend time with your team. And I would just say this, church, if you have never subjected yourself to a week in a room full of psychiatrists and psychologists, you're missing out, right? You're gonna learn a ton, and we learned a ton. And we were there, though, because as a family, we wanted to better understand each of ourselves individually, personally, but also to better understand each other and how each of us are uniquely wired and how we each uniquely relate to each other. And I came away with so much. I learned a lot about myself. And one of the things that I learned about myself is that I have been dealing with, suffering from a pretty significant amount of PTSD from something that happened more than 20 years ago during my time in the military. When I came back, I talked to a friend of mine. His name's Brian. He served with me in the military. He's also now, he serves on our staff at church as well. And so I asked him, I said, Brian, I'm just curious, have you ever struggled with any sort of PTSD from your time in the service? And he said, 100%. Absolutely. I said, well, what does that look like for you? And he began to share some of his experience. And I could relate. And I said, Brian, me too. And we've been friends for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. We have the same experience. Why have we never talked about this? And one of the things that came out of that conversation was, as I compare my issues or my circumstance, what I went through with what other people have gone through, a friend of ours. He's in our church, also served in the military, and he literally had to pull pieces of his friends piece by piece out of a Humvee that was blown up in front of him while taking heavy fire from the enemy. When he came back, he couldn't drive for months because of his job, because of what he experienced. And so when I compare, okay, what I went through, it wasn't that. My issue is not that significant compared to what he's been through. And so I think that's one of the reasons why sometimes we don't tend to talk about what it is we're going through because there's always somebody going through something more. And why should we take up any space with our problems?
Yeah, well, I'm really glad you brought it up because comparison often sabotages people's healing.
Yeah.
When trauma is anything that destabilizes us, puts us in that vulnerable position, takes away our sense of stability, safety, or security. And a lot of times there's a fear of death involved in that. Not all the time, but a lot of times it's there. When we compare our traumatic experiences and the impact that that trauma has had on our lives to others as if it's not as bad, we are in effect minimizing or denying the impact that it's had, and we can't take ownership for our healing for something that we're denying or minimizing is there. So I think the comparison can really, really shut us down in that healing process. I know, Pastor, would you be open to talking a little bit about the experiences that you have had that you've been living with for like over 20 years?
Yeah. So when I served, I had a supervisor who was not a fan of me. I was one of the very few Christians in this particular group of men, and so I didn't quite fit in, and he knew that, and so he would put me purposefully in dangerous situations, or just in spaces that nobody else wanted to be in, just because he wasn't a fan of me. I remember one time we were being trained to take over an active duty Army unit to pull security for transportation routes in Iraq. And I remember he brought our group of guys together and he said, okay, we're going to need somebody to train on how to use an M60 on top of the Humvee. And he said, now this is the most dangerous job that you can have because you're going to be the only man exposed. You're going to be the first to take fire. And he said, I don't know who would want to do that. And he looked at me and just laughingly and with a lot of colorful language, he said, well, if anybody's going to need to be the first to take fire, then we need to put Fisher in that job. Now, thank God, the circumstance shifted a bit, and I did not have to actually do that. But I began training for that just because, again, my supervisor sort of just had a way of making me feel quite vulnerable. And I would say for me, what I realized in just talking with your team is that actually I have had dreams almost weekly for more than 20 years. I'll give you two most recent examples. A few weeks ago, I had a dream that I was being deployed again. And now, the last time I was deployed, I didn't have children. But I had this dream, and it lasted the entire night that I was being deployed again. And throughout the night, I was wrestling with this intense grief. How am I going to tell my girls that daddy's got to leave, right? So, and trying to figure out, well, what am I going to miss? Am I going to miss one of their birthdays? Am I going to miss family vacation? Like, what am I going to miss? And in the dream, I'm trying to explain to my children, and we're all crying together. And I woke up the next morning, kind of that dream lasted all night. And so I woke up just feeling emotionally depleted, physically exhausted, and with an overwhelming sense of grief. It was almost like I started my day with the kind of grief where it felt like somebody in my family had died. Because a part of me felt like it was dying in that particular dream. And then about a week later, I had another dream where I was standing in this open field, and my supervisor was there, and he said, we have been sent to fix this communication tower. It's high up on this cliff face. It's a very steep cliff face, so it's going to be dangerous to scale that. And so we're going to need you, of course, me, to be the one to scale this cliff face and fix this communication tower. And I remember looking around and thinking, okay, like, where's ISIS? You know, like, I know we're in their backyard right now, so where's the enemy? We're not even armed. I'm just exposed. And I woke up the next morning, again, emotionally depleted, physically exhausted. I felt like I'd been wrestling all night long. But with this incredible amount of anxiety. So first it was grief a week before, and then it's this anxiety that I realize now that that has been sort of this recurring theme in my life that I never really actually gave a whole lot of thought to. That certainly impacts me in a lot of ways, my mind, my emotions, the way that I maybe engage with my family, particularly on those mornings or afternoons, or how I engage my friends. And so it was quite interesting that sort of thing came out just as I was sitting down with your team and talking through some of my experiences, and somebody said, you know, have you ever thought about? And I had not.
Yeah, it's fascinating what our brains and our souls do.
Yeah.
They will, our brains and our souls will often take us back, whether in dreams or in behavioral patterns, will take us back to similar situations in an attempt to get authority and healing.
Wow.
And
can you just say that one more time? Because I feel like somebody, that lit a light in me, and I feel like somebody else needs to hear that.
Yes, our brains and our souls, and yeah. I would say our spirits too, will keep sometimes taking us back in our dreams, in behavioral patterns, in our thought life. They'll keep taking us back to the traumatic events or similar traumatic situations because our soul and our brain, our spirit are trying to get authority and healing over those moments. But a lot of times what happens is it just keeps re-traumatizing us.
Yeah.
And you know, it was interesting because when we looked through your results and told you that you might be dealing with a lot of trauma, it was a light bulb for you in that moment because it was as if you had not even considered that before.
Yeah.
You'd just been living with that.
Well, again, part of it was I had never put word to it.
Yeah.
Part of it was that I would compare my military experience, which I was not in combat. I was in combat zones at times, but I was not in combat. So comparing my experience with other people's experience and feeling as though, well, this just must be kind of just life as normal. And not even being able to really put word to not only what I was dealing with, but to realize that perhaps there might need to be some sort of action plan that I proactively engage in to begin to truly overcome some of these issues that I've been dealing with.
Yeah, the awareness piece is so important. Just fostering an awareness of what's really going on because I believe it's the first step towards healing.
Yeah.
And we can actually begin to recognize the impact that trauma has on us as we foster an awareness. Because it can have impact in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
For example, like the psychological aspects of trauma, it doesn't just, like we talk about PTSD, but that includes intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
It involves just deep anxiety and depression, flashbacks. Flashbacks are when you're awake and you get images or things pop back in your mind. Nightmares can happen, like dreams where you're trying to work through things. Panic, mood changes, even trauma can lead to emotional dysregulation. We have a hard time talking about emotion. We have a hard time understanding the emotions that we have. There can be an emotional numbness or just a detachment where I just stop feeling anything and start to dissociate from my life and from my relationships and all sorts of things. So there's a lot of psychological and emotional thought life outcomes that trauma can have on us, even cognitive effects.
Yeah.
Trauma impacts our memory. I've worked with people in the past who have memories related to the trauma that, because it was such a blur, they'll carry partial memories or sometimes even false memories related to the trauma. Now, that doesn't mean the trauma didn't happen. I'm saying the trauma actually impacts people's ability to navigate, like, how do I even work through this or process this at all? Like, so our ability to pay attention can be impacted, to concentrate, to make decisions. So a lot of impact there in our cognitive life. The behavioral effects, increased aggression, irritability, risk-taking or self-destructive behaviors.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll punish ourselves for the trauma because emotionally we blame ourselves for the trauma. And or if I can, if, because if it's my fault, then I can do something about it.
Yeah.
And we, that's operating on an unconscious level, but we'll engage in patterns behaviorally. It's why people who were experienced sexual abuse, for example, sometimes you look at a person, and this isn't everyone, but you look at people who had significant sexual abuse histories, and they're engaged in sexual actions on an ongoing basis, and it's like, it doesn't add up. What the brain and the soul are doing is putting that person back in sexual situations to try to get authority over those situations.
Wow.
But it's just re-traumatizing them and re-traumatizing them. So the behavioral impact of this can be really, really difficult. And then physical effects.
Yeah.
You know, trauma impacts our body. We stay in a constant state of fight, or freeze.
Yeah.
So our bodies are operating in constant states of stress. And even in moments of peace, there's the triggers. And triggers are just environmental or circumstantial factors, internally or externally, that remind the body that the trauma is happening or may be happening again. And so the body responds in the moment as if the past is the present all over again. That's what triggers are. And so when you talk about the physical impact of trauma, our bodies stay in that state. It can lead to adrenal insufficiency, physiological burnout. So there's just increased heart disease, increased autoimmune diseases, because if your body's in a constant state of fight, flight, or freeze, your body is dealing with those elevated levels of cortisol and all everything that's going on in the body. It actually impacts our autoimmune functioning, so increased risk for just long-term chronic illness. Where does this come from? It's hard to put a finger on it. So a lot of consequences of trauma.
I can say this. I think I've dealt with them all, and I'm not sure how many men my age can say that they've had not one, not two, but three colonoscopies.
The gastrointestinal issues.
By the time they turned 39.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first returned home, I my insides were such a mess, and yet when I started this series 8 weeks ago, I opened with this statement that God's desire for us is not to see us burdened and bound, but free. And in this verse, these are the words of Jesus, and you will know the truth, which is himself, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can we talk about what does the Word of God say specifically about trauma? And then what does freedom and healing, the pathway toward freedom and healing, what does that look like?
Yeah, let's talk about the people in the scriptures who've experienced trauma, because I think sometimes we can just read through that like it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But when we put ourselves, as I just go through a few people, put yourself in the shoes of these people for just a moment and kind of feel what they felt. Job, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, lost everything materially, lost his whole family, his kids. All of his kids died.
Yeah.
I've got three kids.
Can't even
imagine. If my kids die, I can't even process that. Like,
yeah.
All within this one time span, his health tanked. I mean, the pain that he was going through physiologically, you talk about trauma. And yet, he was able to maintain his faith. And there's these aspects of trauma and pain, but victory, these juxtaposed realities that we see in the scriptures. Joseph, Joseph got sold into slavery by his brothers. Yeah. You talk about relational betrayal. Wow. Then he got lied on, imprisoned.
Yeah.
You talk about the injustice.
Yeah, being falsely accused.
Falsely.
Yeah. If and there, there are many right now watching.
Yes.
Who can absolutely relate
yeah.
to Joseph's story.
The trauma of injustice.
Yeah.
Joseph understands that intimately. And yet God in his miraculous sovereignty heals that process and converts it into something that he used for his glory and for a nation of people. It's just, it's unbelievable. Hagar, Abraham's and Sarah's servant, mistreated, kicked out with a child with no resources. So you talk about the sociocultural impact of poverty and the trauma that that has and the pressure that we feel as parents.
Yeah.
I feel the emotion of it. Man, putting ourselves in the shoes of single moms and what they go through, in a, wow, I can't even imagine what that's like. And yet God says, I see you.
Yeah.
Like these juxtaposed realities. King David. David brought a lot on himself.
He did.
It's a whole lot of self-sabotage.
And a whole lot of family drama in David's life.
It was rough,
yeah.
right? But think about David. He was not invited to probably one of the most important events of his family's life when they lined up the family. The prophet's going down the line. He's like, where's your... Do you have another son?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, they left David out in the field.
Yeah.
He's just forgotten.
Overlooked.
Overlooked, neglected. And the impact that that probably had on his parenting, so much so that he didn't correct one son that raped a daughter.
Yeah.
Didn't deal with Absalom, mourned his, like, just trauma after yeah. trauma, and yet he continued to lean into the Lord.
And so talk about the path to freedom, the path to healing. What does that look like?
Yeah, so trauma was real for people in the scriptures, but so was the healing.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to give this hope for people. So one of the most difficult things to hear about our trauma and the healing process, and I know this is hard to hear, but it's the same process as if we are the ones that self-sabotaged. Mm. I'm not blaming. Please hear me. This isn't victim shaming or blaming. But the process is the same as if we self-sabotage, and ultimately, it's responsibility.
Wow.
It's not fair. It's absolutely not fair. But we have to take responsibility for our healing, because the person or the society or that imposed those traumatic experiences on me are probably not showing up
to help
me heal. Yeah,
right.
So I can continue to blame them. I can live in unforgiveness. I can live in the survival mode of just overcoming whatever the impact of wow. trauma was. Or I can say, you know what, it's time. I'm going to be aware of it, just like you did with yours, what you're doing with yours. I'm going to be aware of this, and I'm taking responsibility for my healing. And the good news is that God in his sovereignty
yes.
has provided all sorts of amazing tools for this to happen. One's counseling, it's therapy. Just saying out loud a trauma
yeah.
is one of the most powerful things that we can do. I have said in my office countless times, there's a small chance I'm going to tear up saying this. I tear up every time we do this. Where people say, like, I've never said this to anyone before. Yeah. And I'm the representation of Jesus and the representation of humanity. To receive. This is part of what it means to be the church, too, yeah. by the way.
It's James 5:16. Pray for each other, confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed.
Yes.
And it's acknowledging that, as I've said time and again, that you will never be so lonely as with a secret.
Oof.
Or bound as with a secret. And the power of confession, the
yes.
power of just acknowledging, this is something that I've been going through. This is something that I've been dealing with. This is a dream that I've continued to have. And can you pray with me? Can you help me engage? Talk about some of the tools that we have at our disposal to step into that freedom and to take personal responsibility for our healing.
Yeah. To say it out loud.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably powerful. We have the church for that. And as the church, we don't have to try to fix anything. The main thing is just to receive that in love and be able to sit with somebody. But we've got counseling. There's a lot of different counseling methodologies. Cognitive behavioral counseling helps us address, and cognitive behavioral therapy for trauma helps us deal with the thoughts and behaviors related to that. Emotions-focused therapy for complex trauma helps us actually lean in and go back to memories and get authority over the emotional states that trauma brings up for us and deal with the shame and the guilt of that. EMDR or ART, accelerated resolution therapy, use what's called alternating bilateral stimulation and help that actually helps us process traumatic memories. It calms our body down so that when the thought of the memory comes, our body doesn't respond anymore as if it's happening all over again. Really, really powerful. We integrate it a lot with spiritual formation, where the presence of Jesus shows up in that moment. Yeah. And so there's a lot of spiritual integration and soul care that can happen. Story-informed trauma therapy helps us understand that our trauma and its impact on us is not the end of our story. Mindfulness, meditation, really grounding techniques, really helpful in getting authority over our bodies. And then you've got a lot of body-based approaches, sensory motor psychotherapy, somatic experiencing, neurofeedback, approaches that start with the body, not the mind, help us get authority over those things. And then as we get authority over our bodies, we can move into talking about the impact of those traumas. Very powerful techniques. Medication can be helpful. And then you get a lot of, by the way, let me say this too, stretching, whatever people feel about yoga, because I know people can have a really difficult time with the spirituality of yoga, but the stretching, there's research that suggests that the stretching can be as effective in treating symptoms of PTSD as medication can.
Wow.
Because we hold the tension and the pain and we release it. We hold it and we release it. Really, really helpful.
Yeah. And then I've heard exercise can be exercise, medication, just daily habits even that we can step into.
Healthy rhythms of self-care.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think, can I just say one of the, we were talking about this earlier, self-care, lifestyle changes, embracing forming healthy habits. One of the best healthy habits, I think, that as a believer we can learn to embrace is just declaring God's word over ourselves, to pray God's promise over our marriages, our families, our homes. And I think like using Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where, you know, we say, look, God, when you say, in your word, don't be anxious about anything. Well, Lord, you know I'm anxious right now, but you tell me here, in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay, I'm here presenting my request for you. And here's what the Lord says in Philippians 4:16, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God, which just, it might not make sense to you. You might not can understand it. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. And so when we read his word out loud and declare his word and say, okay, Lord, I need that peace right now. John chapter 14, 27, Jesus, you said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Okay, Lord, if you're giving out peace today, then I want to be the first in line to receive your peace. Or in Isaiah chapter 41, where we say, Lord, your promise to me in this passage is that I don't have to fear. Why? Because you are with me. I am with you, says the Lord. Do not be dismayed, for I am the Lord your God. You are the Lord my God. And so I'm drawing upon your word and your presence right now, for great is the Lord my God. Psalm chapter 145, most worthy of all praise, greatness that I can't even begin to fathom. For you are great, Psalm 86, and you do marvelous deeds. And when we just begin to declare the word of God, we can say, you do marvelous deeds. Lord, I need you to do something marvelous in me.
Yes.
Like, I need you to do something significant and marvelous in my marriage, in my home, with one of my kids, this circumstance that I'm facing right now. Would you do something marvelous in me? What I've found and what I'm finding more and more is that the more I pray his word out loud and declare his promises, my faith begins to rise. Mm.
Yeah, and I think that's why what we're doing here today,
yeah,
as a church matters. Mm. Because the social support inherent in meeting together as a church,
yeah,
and in meeting in small groups gives the encouragement that we need, that, yeah, I am with you, my presence is with you, that, yeah, we need. And ultimately, I think God provides the power and the authority that we need to take ownership for our healing,
yeah,
through the power of Jesus, his resurrection, and the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus understood and understands trauma.
Yeah.
Physically, psychologically, relationally, spiritually, he dealt with physical trauma on the cross, the nails, the beatings, the things that he went through. Psychological, he was betrayed by people. He was so stressed out psychologically in the garden, he was bleeding.
Yeah.
The blood, his body was exploding in that moment. Relationally, betrayed by the people closest to him. And spiritually, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
If any of us have ever asked, ever, God, where are you?
Yeah.
Jesus understands that, and yet he overcame it. Mm. He overcame that, got out of the grave.
Yeah.
That's why no matter what you've been through, Jesus is our living hope.
Yeah.
Physically, he gives us eternal life, and he heals our bodies, gives us new bodies when we see him face to face. Psychologically, he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the things that we're in.
Come
relationally,
on.
He is the ultimate attachment figure. He never leaves us, and,
yeah,
he never forsakes us.
That's
and
good.
Spiritually, he fills us with his Spirit and gives our lives meaning that move us past the pain into a purpose.
That's good.
That transforms us.
Yeah, that's good. I would just say this, church, as Dr. Andy was sharing about the pathway to freedom and healing, it is taking personal responsibility. It's choosing to take a step. And I'm quite confident that there are many here or watching online or from afar right now where you are aware that there are some issues that you've been dealing with. There's trauma that you've been dealt. And there is a step that you know that you need to take. The first step might be for you to talk to somebody or to find somebody like Dr. Andy who can help you begin to process and work through your trauma. But there's a step that we can take right now, and that step is to simply call upon the name of Jesus, to pray together, to acknowledge his presence here with us now, the peace of his presence that surpasses all understanding. And so what I would love for us to do, if we can, is I would love for us to pray together. And if you don't mind, to bow your head and close your eyes. I just want to sit for just a moment and say thank you, Jesus, for your presence, for the peace of your presence that is here with us now. And I just want to pray this, that may the God of all peace be with you always. May you feel his peace and presence now, and may the God of all peace be with you always. Lord, you know what each person here needs. You know what trauma we've been dealt. You know what pain we've been carrying. You know what hurt we've been handed. And Lord, I pray right now that a healing work of your Holy Spirit would begin. that we would be empowered and feel empowered by your Holy Spirit to take the steps necessary toward our healing and freedom. But that we would never lose sight of where our true healing and freedom comes from. That it comes from you. That you're the God who loves us, who empowers us. Freedom is in the name of Jesus. Healing is in the name of Jesus. Peace is in the name of Jesus. For there is no other name given to mankind but the name of Jesus. That when we call upon the name of Jesus, we can be saved. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Your word says that everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. That's a promise. And so I pray right now, if you're here today and you would say, I want to be saved, I want to be forgiven, can I encourage you to take a first step toward Jesus right now by just praying, Lord, here I am. I need you. Lord and Savior of my life, forgive me of my sin, my wrongdoing. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and surround me by your presence. And lead me daily into your will and your purpose for my life. Give me the power, the courage, the strength, and the conviction I need to take authority over my situation, the trauma that I've been dealt, that I could learn to walk in freedom, in healing, and in wholeness. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Church, can we right now thank Dr. Andy for being with us today? Come on, can we thank him? And can we honor Jesus together? Come on, can you put your hands together? Can we honor Jesus for who he is, for his presence here with us now? Come on, can we honor him? Dr. Andy, thank you.
Thank you.